Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
I'm still Jen.
Are you ready to get inked?
Woo-woo.
We have the most amazing tattoo artist here with us today. Her name is Virginia Elwood. I cannot wait to introduce you to her.
But before that, we're going to talk about micellar waters, micelles, still a thing, still around, still confusing. We'll get to the bottom of it. And then the least glamorous fragrance in the world. What am I talking about? I'm talking about poo covering smell.
Oh.
Yeah, just bear with us. It's going to be interesting.
Sick.
And then the last thing is, it's holiday time. I feel like it's Thanksgiving. It's the official kickoff. So what are we talking about, Jess?
How to transition your makeup from desk to dinner.
We're getting real magazine-y, but we'll make it cool. Don't worry. So let's get into it.
Okay, so Jen, the other day, was being a good beauty editor, and I took home some new products that have just come out or about to come out for spring, and I took home a new micellar water. Now, I've always been very skeptical about micellar waters. I like a nice creamy cleanser or even a balm, and I was like, let me see what the fuss is about. Hated it.
This was your first micelle experience.
I actually had one before, and it was bad, but I wrote it off to I just didn't like that one. And I was like, you know, how could so many editors love them?
Yes.
Like, editors love them. People love them. Every brand has one. I didn't like it.
I think that's okay. First, we should probably define what a micellar water is, right?
Yeah.
So did you do some homework after you hated it?
I asked my BF, who frequent listeners of the show will know that he is a cosmetic chemist. We'll trot him out at some point. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he gave me this kind of dummy's guide version for me, which is very telling. He just broke it down for me really simply last night while he was like, all right, here's the easiest way to explain it. When you're using a gel cleanser or a normal cleanser, it's concentrated with surfactants. And then he said introduce water. It's so funny. He used all these weird words. You introduce water to orient the surfactants to grip the dirt and oil and then rinse them away.
Yes.
Micellar water is a diluted formula, like it has surfactants, but really it's just like such so watered down, hence water. You put it on your face, it grabs onto some, and then you just kind of tissue it off.
Right.
And that's like the water, it's like the water is built in. You're paying for the water.
Right. And also when you say grab onto some, that surfactant is oriented in a way that it's going to grab the dirt and oil, cling to it. And then when you tissue away, the dirt and oil came off.
Exactly with it. Yes. Thank you for closing the loop.
But
guess what? You're not taking off nearly as much. It's not doing the hard work of your gel cleanser or your cream cleanser. Like, you are not getting as deep of a clean.
Which I think anybody who uses them would notice. Like, it's not going to take off like waterproof makeup.
A lot of people are saying that they're using this as their cleanser. I know people who are like, I just use the micellar water. Really? Your face is filthy.
It's not that it's filthy. It might still have some oil and dirt left. It might also, the problem I have with them is I feel like I have a film on my face afterwards.
Me too.
So that's basically just some of those surfactants left behind, whereas if it had been in a cleanser form, you would have rinsed them off with regular water.
Yeah. I asked him.
Not a bad thing, not like hurting your skin, but if you don't like that feeling.
No, like there's still stuff on my face. I asked him, I was like, I feel like there's a film. He was like, well, you didn't wash your face.
Right.
Like, so, you know, it's...
Here's my theory on why these things are so popular. First of all, it had the whole French girl cool factor going on for it. As we've discussed, French girls, like, everybody's about them. So the big one was Bioderma. You used to see it all the time backstage at fashion shows. Well, guess what, people? Guess what they don't have backstage at fashion shows?
Sinks, running water,
plumbing. They needed micellar waters because they don't have sinks to wash all the makeup off of the models when they come in. So the big reason they got so popular was this is a quick way to get rid of makeup on a model when you don't have a sink and water.
They'd kill for a sink.
Right. Listen, when you're home and you have a sink in water, that probably is still the best way to cleanse your face. But I think people like them too because they have very low levels of surfactants, so they can be milder than like a face wash for some people. You are not buying
that. I'm not buying that because I feel like if you're going to sleep with like, you know, like makeup residue, certainly eye makeup residue. I know if I go to sleep with like a little bit of eye makeup residue on my face, I have sensitive eyes. I wake up the next morning itchy.
But again,
like get a good clean.
That's a personal thing because there are so many micellar waters too. What is your micelle of choice? A micelle isn't one thing. There might be glycerin that's your surfactant that is like formed into the micelle, which is when its little hydrophilic tail is sticking out or whatever. There might be, what are some other surfactants? I can't think of others right now.
I can't tell you what a surfactant
so
technologically
all
is.
Micellar waters are not created equal. So I don't know what brand you brought home, but that might be the issue too.
I'll tell you after, but it was a trusted brand.
I will tell you, I've had a not great experience. The Bioderma, I feel like it's fragrancy and leaves a film. I do like the Simple one from Simple Skincare because it's fragrance free. But again, I only use it when I'm like in a rush, to be honest.
Guys, tell us if there are any micellar waters that you would recommend if that you guys love. I'm curious to know what you guys think.
Or do you just use them because you feel like you're Frenchy and cool? That's fine too.
Jen, I don't really like bathroom humor or like fart jokes or anything like that. Like, I just, this is not really my cup of tea. But this is so fascinating that I had to bring this to you and to our listeners.
Okay, tell. Why are you getting the giggles?
I'm gonna die because it's
You're like a toddler.
Okay, Bill Gates is partnering with Firmenich, like this major, major fragrance company that's 120 years old. They produce many of the fragrances that you have right now, like on your dressers, to create a scent that blocks the smell of poop.
Okay.
Now, he's doing this as like a public health service because in a lot of places where people use like a lot of, you know, nations where they don't have the same kind of sanitation that we have in the U.S., like for example, India, this is like really serious. A lot of people die because of like sanitation related ailments.
And sure.
They're not going in the public latrines because they smell so, so hideous that
so they're
just
going
in the street. They're doing it everywhere. So he feels like if we can create something that to mask the smell of these latrines, we can help people go where they're supposed to go. It's really commendable.
It's a public health issue, for sure.
I think it's great.
So not just in India and other countries where if you're going making a BM near the side of a river and it gets into the public water system, that's, you know, cholera, all sorts of, like, waterborne diseases. Not good.
We are so lucky. And
wait,
you know,
so have they made...
It's unbelievable.
Have they made this fragrance yet? Or what is it going to be?
No, it's really complex. You know, this is...
Plug-in.
No, exactly.
Situation.
It says that he said toilet odors are really complex. They consist of more than 200 different chemical compounds that arise from feces and urine and that change over time and vary depending on health and diet. Like, this is not a project I would want to work on. But I thought that it was really interesting because, like, this is like a weird, like, burgeoning industry in the beauty world that I've... And when I say industry, it's like so niche, but I feel like we have to address it. Like,
absolutely.
Aesop makes this like little Aesop, so fancy, so refined. I was at someone's house, a beauty executive. I went to their guest bathroom and I was like, oh, Aesop. I saw in the back of the toilet. It was the first time I ever saw it. It said like no poo poo drops or something like poo poo. It says post poo drops.
Yeah. And there's Poo Puri, which is one of
those. Oh, my God. That ad is so funny. We'll put that on the blog.
Nature's Call is another one.
Nature's Call.
Yeah. I saw it on a men's website. And then Just a Drop. Some of them you're even supposed to drop in the toilet before you go.
Oh, Aesop, you drop 3 after you go. And then it recommends. I love
you
this.
You made number 2 at a beauty executive's house?
No.
Oh, okay. You just read the bottle.
I held it. Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I read the bottle. But I was, like, thinking, like, why? It was just, like, bringing this topic, like, out into the open. Like, luxury brand admitting that people go number 2.
But it's a lot of, like, very complicated chemistry, I'm sure, to find the molecules that will sort of cancel out the smell of BMs and urine.
Aesop uses, you know, this is what's on the pack. Who knows what it really takes to make it, but they say they use essential oils of tangerine and mandarin peel. So I'm wondering if maybe we should put like some orange potpourri in the bathroom if you can't like spring for the $29
You know what I always see in bathrooms? That orange oil citrus spray. I feel like that one does kind of work. But let's be honest, Bill Gates isn't about to go get some orange oil. He's talking like high-tech science, right?
Yes. And this was actually really interesting just while we're talking about poo-poo and fragrance. If there's anyone else who hates jasmine, I hate the smell of jasmine so much except for one fragrance.
Yeah.
I will put that on the blog. It's called a long time ago in Argentina, their jasmine fragrance. Have you ever seen that one? It's so amazing.
No.
Anyway, it's the only jasmine I ever like. I hate jasmine because to me it smells like soiled baby diapers.
Well, it's funny you say that because some of the molecules in jasmine are the same that are in a BM.
Chandler Burr had to
enlighten me. It has a funk to it.
If they're called indol.
Those animalic.
It's an indol compound.
Yes.
So if I thought it was like the cilantro thing. You know how some people like hate cilantro because it tastes like soap to them?
Yeah.
I was like, why does everyone love jasmine? It smells like shit. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
Because it freaking smells like shit.
Well, when
you're
shit,
not joking
it smells
around.
Like jasmine, so look at that.
See, girls really do shit flowers. It's the most wonderful time
of the year. With the Jess, it's holiday time. If I haven't said it yet this year, I am thankful for you.
I am thankful for you too, Jen.
So Thanksgiving, we're eating our turkey. Yeah, that's all great and good. But this is a beauty podcast. This time of year is like cocktail party central, family party central, all sorts of nighttime events. And so women's magazines would have you believe, oh, here's a couple little touch-up things you can do at the end of the day to refresh your makeup to go out to an event.
Mm-hmm.
I have been working on my 5 p.m. face for years. Do you, first question, do you take off your entire face and reapply when you're going out at night?
No, that's too much. If I'm taking off my makeup, that means like I'm going to sleep or like it's like a significant, it's like Pavlov's dogs. Like
I totally
get very
agree.
Tired. I'm done.
Like it's 5 p.m. and everybody's like, let's go to the holiday work party, but you want to zhuzh up a little, but you don't want to start all over. So, I mean, I feel like we've always given tips for this kind of thing, but none of the tips I ever read in magazines are actually what I do. So I want to know, what do you do to refresh, to go out for like a holiday party?
For me, it's like all about confusion.
Okay.
Okay, that's my strategy. If people are used to seeing with me with my hair down that day, I put it up. If I'm wearing a lip, I erase the lip and I pop up, like I add an eye.
Oh.
Now, I'm very sensitive to earrings. Like, I don't wear earrings even though I have, like, earring holes. You will never see me in earrings. Something like, I got very allergic somehow, like, 10 years ago to earrings. It's a really weird story. But anyway, if I did wear earrings, maybe I need some clip-ons. Pop on some clip-ons to distract them. It's like, ooh, I'm fancy now.
Yeah. Like, what's happening? Or, this isn't day, Jessica. Yeah, this is, like, night,
exactly.
Jessica.
Exactly. It almost, like, doesn't even matter what you do. It's just,
the
like...
the change factor.
It just change it up.
I love that you said that because I feel like the tip is often, like, just intensify what you already have going on.
Go opposite.
Very
good tip. Do the lip, do the eye. If your hair up, down. And then, of course, you have to do this. Please, guys, this is so important. Add a really powerful, amazing fragrance because it's almost like, ooh, like things are fancy. It's almost like the dimmer switch of like makeup.
Yes.
Give people a hug.
Also
like they
goes
remember
with
you.
Confusion, sort of like throw them off with the scent.
Yeah, it's all about throwing people off. But as on the most practical level, like here's a tip you can like really use like right now. Do not take your makeup off. Just add moisture. I know you like a spritz. I like adding like a creamy, like a balm or a highlighter. Just like refresh. It like reactivates your makeup,
right,
and everything.
I do it with that SK2 Midday Essence. Just spritz it on my face and mm-hmm. then just sort of rub around whatever pigment was there.
Yeah.
And it like becomes foundation again. The other thing I like
magic.
Well, it kind of does. The other thing I like, basically, mascara always bleeds on me. Eyeliner always bleeds. So if you have that little bit of under eye crumble or the like darkness from your mascara, you know Almay has those makeup cotton swabs. You just you snap them and the makeup remover comes down the cotton swab.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like those just to like run under your eyes.
That's a good one.
To take a little bit off and then maybe pat a little bit more concealer.
That's a really good one.
The one thing definitely not to do is try and apply more mascara. Speaking of fat mascara,
ooh.
Agree or disagree?
Yeah, that it gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it.
Just the idea of brushing through already dry mascara to put on more.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah. Urban Decay came out with that Resurrection product like maybe 2 years ago. It's Mascara Resurrection. So it's a wand of like this white gel that softens the mascara pigment so that you can brush through old mascara and reapply.
Yes.
I had mixed results with it. Like, I just feel like you just can't take off mascara without fully taking it off. Mm-hmm. So instead of using that, I'll just curl. I know you're not always supposed to curl lashes that have already been mascara'd.
Yeah.
But if you do it gently, I feel like it just like reawakens the lashes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Keep a curler at your desk or in your bag.
Oh, yeah. I have like 5.
Really?
Oh, I have one in my bag right now.
Stop
you
it.
You should see me on the subway. I actually curled my lashes on the way here and people are looking at me like, what
That's really dangerous, Jen. Don't do that.
Listen, I'm fat mascara. I have to have good lashes.
Oh my God. What if the subway stops short? Oh my God, stop.
Okay. So guys, we have a whole month of holiday in front of us. Come on Instagram. Join us at Fat Mascara. Tell us what you guys do to refresh at the end of the day.
Welcome to my life, tattoo. We've a long time together, me and you.
We're here with Virginia Elwood, who's a tattoo artist who works at Save Tattoo in Brooklyn. Welcome, Virginia.
Hello, guys.
So I'm sure our listeners are wondering why the hell there's a tattoo artist on our beauty podcast. But for me, at least, I think of the few tattoos I have as like permanent cosmetic, like body adornment. It's just another kind of, you know, adorning your body. So how do you think of your tattoos, Virginia?
I think that when I was younger, they started off more as a rebellion. And I think as I've gotten into my mid-30s, they're definitely more self-expression. But I think it's just so different for each client. You know, I try not to pass judgment on someone's getting something that has a lot of deep meaning to them, or if they're getting something that's just visually pleasing to them, or something that is a trend. No, it's a tattoo. They're cool. They make you feel good.
So then how would you describe to someone the type of tattoos that you do?
You know, that's another tricky one because it depends on how if someone knows the vocabulary, you know. Like
pretend our listeners.
Yeah, like
okay,
we're novices.
No vocabulary. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really influenced by textile design, mostly folk art textile design. So... and tattooing is really a folk art. It's come a long way. I mean, people are doing hyper-realism and beautiful black and gray work. And I mean, there's just so much being done right now. But I really like simple, bold lines, whether that's color or black and gray. you know, strong imagery, like I guess you would say more of traditional imagery, but I don't only do that. I also really love doing dog portraits and cat portraits because I get to do two of my favorite things, which is look at animals and tattoo at the same time. So it's a real win. I love tattooing flowers and birds. I just did an eagle earlier.
Today? All of this sounds very appealing. Like,
I'm
not a tattoo person. I don't have a tattoo, but you're saying, like, you know, dogs and cats. I always feel like if I were going to get a tattoo, I feel like I'd get my cat's face on somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. We could talk about that later, but like offline. But like, I find tattoo shops, tattoo artists be very like intimidating, not like in a bad way, but I just feel like, you know, I don't have the vocabulary. I feel like maybe you look down on me because I don't have a tattoo, like pussy, or like, I don't know. Like, did you find like the tattoo world or anything about the world intimidating before you started training as a tattoo artist?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And even during, even now, I don't always want to go into a tattoo shop.
Really?
Because it is an intimidating environment. You know, even as a tattooer, you know, you're walking in some place where you're going to be asked to fully trust someone to mark you permanently. And that's really, really vulnerable.
So it's the relationship, like the ask, that is intimidating. It's not like the shop or like the guy who owns it.
I think the idea of it, I think there's a lot to it, you know. But I was always taught to be really kind to your clients, mm-hmm. and make a friendly environment. And that's what our shop, what Saved is like. We try to encourage people to come in and look and ask questions. And we don't look down or judge people for not having tattoos. Tattoos aren't for everyone, too.
Or not knowing the verbiage.
Oh, yeah, no, of course not. That just seems silly to me. It seems mean and unnecessary and silly. I don't like it.
Yeah, like you wouldn't go in a hair salon and be like, I need balayage at a two-level blonde or whatever. Like, you're coming to the experts, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot to ask of a client to trust you. And there are so many amazing tattooers out there now and really, really great shops.
Yeah.
So while, yes, there are more people getting tattooed than ever, there's also more places for them to go. So why be a dick?
Yeah.
You bring up a point that
quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Listen, there are so many skincare products on the market claiming to help reduce fine lines and wrinkles, and you know I will try most of them. But how do you know your products are actually working? Some research to back up the claims. That's why Jess and I are all about Ritual. They created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted a clinical study to take the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual's Hyacera is now a part of my skincare routine, and I got in the habit of taking it every day by putting the cute little purple jar right next to my sunscreen. It looks nice on my vanity, and let's be honest, I love that. But once I stuck with the habit, I really noticed a difference in my skin. I am not the only one. In a clinical study, taking Hyacera for 90 days led to a 3.6-time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles as compared to placebo, and it led to a 2.9 increase in skin smoothness. I also like that they're easy to swallow. The capsules sort of taste like vanilla. They're not all weird and fishy like some other supplements. Plus, Ritual is a certified B Corp, something we learned about on a recent episode. And all their supplements, including the Daily Protein and their Sleep Bio Series Melatonin supplement, are vegan, gluten-free, and made traceable. Do what Jess and I did. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off.
You'll
know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
That we wanted to ask you about, like, compared to 10 or maybe 15 years ago, tattoos are a lot more prevalent, at least in pop culture. Do you wish there was still some of that sort of secrecy and craftsmanship from when you started out, or are you happy that more people are in the fold?
It's a mix of both. I mean, when I was first starting out, I was considered like the new interloper for the old guys. And I say guys because it was predominantly men.
Yeah.
So while I love the idea of, like, in the mid-90s when I first started getting tattooed, you know, it was like, oh, I got my first tattoo from a one-armed biker.
Did you?
Yeah.
One arm.
What was it?
Yeah. What is it?
It was a pot leaf on my shoulder. Whoa. It's covered up now.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I don't see it.
No, it's long gone. But I just
how did he hold your skin taut?
Well,
do
he had a part of his arm. So maybe a handless, one-handed biker was maybe the better
that's
term.
Pretty badass.
Honestly, there. Even if he had the hand, I don't think it would have made the tattoo any better.
Is it bad?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's totally covered up, so.
Okay.
But anyways, back to what you were saying. I mean, all of the attention and growth in the industry, I think, really, in the long run, has only helped us. It's helped to push people's art and push their integrity. And, you know, a lot of people are going to college for art and then wanting to become tattooers. And, yeah, a lot of tattooers are like, screw that, you know, you're trying to eat my dinner.
You have made a little bit of a reputation for yourself, at least in New York, as being like this fashion-y tattoo artist. I was looking you up before because, you know, we go.
That is so hilarious.
I know it is.
Why is that funny to you?
But I was like Googling her name and like she's been on Vogue and Exo Jane and Complex Magazine wrote about her. And you've done some fashion collaborations too. So yeah. Where do you think that connection comes from? Is it clients that you've worked with or... Why do you think that is?
I think it's a few things. Yeah, I think working in New York, first of all, and I started working here at New York Adorned, which is owned by Lori Levin, and it's a really, really historical, like, elite tattoo shop. And she has a lot of ties to sort of the beauty, fashion, and jewelry world. Mm-hmm. So I think the type of clientele that I was getting when I was working there, and still at Saved, and we're very creative people, and I've formed relationships with them over the past 10 years, and... you know, you and I have known each other for a while. We like to, you know, keep our connections and help our friends out. But so, yeah, part of it is being nice to people.
Uh-huh.
Try to be really nice to my clients because I genuinely like my clients. I kind of pick and choose who I tattoo. But I think that I've always been interested in clothing.
Yeah, and you said your art is sometimes influenced by textiles, which I didn't put that together until I just said it, that might be part of it, too.
Yeah, I think that is part of it, because that was, I mean, it was never really my intention to go into any kind of fashion thing. It's a creative outlet for me, and I enjoy shopping and talking about clothes.
Does it surprise you to be, like, the fashion world's tattoo artist? Or, like, you were laughing about that, like, you look kind of... I don't know, just kind of, like, surprised.
Well, if the fashion world consisted of, like, 50 people in Brooklyn, then maybe. But I just feel like that might be overselling me, although I will accept the compliment. That's very kind. But
then you were at Paris Fashion Week this fall, right?
I was, yes.
Why were you there? I mean, that's pretty cool.
I did a collaboration with Zadig and Voltaire.
Mm-hmm.
I did some textile design for them for their spring 2017. And also for next fall, we have a couple other things coming out that I, you know, would love to talk about later.
Yeah.
But
What is the accessories line that you're doing? Is that for Zadig?
It's for me.
Oh, the scarves. Yeah. Well, it's for me. Okay, this is going to take... It needs a little bit of backstory, okay? And I'm gonna kind of explain it like as easily and quickly as I can because it's a big part of what the brand is and where the idea came from. About, I would say, like 7 or 8 years ago, a lot of people started coming in to get tattoos that were flipped upside down from a tattooer's perspective. Meaning, when someone's standing up straight in front of you, you, as the viewer, can read their tattoo. Whether it's a word or an image, but people were coming in and saying, "I want it facing me. I want it upside down because it's for me." They weren't considering it upside down, so it was kind of, you know, it started off as a joke, to be honest, because this was such a, I mean, it was just such a common thing, and we would be like, "Oh God, it's for me. They want it's for me."
You know, like a catchphrase, like a little, like a cliche thing.
Well, yeah. So it started off as a joke, although not a mean-spirited joke, but it was just kind of a tattoo world inner joke. And then the more I thought about it, I realized the people getting these tattoos were young women that were like 20, 21 years old. When I was 20 years old, I did not have the agency to walk into a male-dominated space and ask for something that was like openly being made fun of.
Yeah.
So I kind of started to get really inspired by it.
So you started you sell scarves and tote bags and this is the brand name, right?
Yeah, it's for me. So I
they're not upside down tattoos, people, by the way.
No.
Go on her website and check it out. It's your artwork, right?
It's a manifestation of some of my artwork.
That's
cool. Work with a lot of different mediums. I have a couple of porcelain hands coming out in a New York Historical Society show. They're doing like a New York tattoo history show. So I work with a lot of different mediums and that just, I don't know. It's for me. it's more of a fun, it's a fun side project.
Yeah.
You know?
So we wanted to, just because this is a beauty podcast, we did want to walk through some of the basics of tattooing.
Let's do
just
it.
Because it is still intimidating, just like you said.
I totally understand and agree.
So like FDA, for example, they say that tattoo ink is a cosmetic, just like whether it's used for intradermal, like making a design on your skin or like your eyebrows getting tattooed, whatever, but they don't regulate it.
No.
So how are tattoo shops regulated, if at all?
State by state, county by county, city by city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here in New York, do you have to get like a license or anything?
You do have to have a license. Mm-hmm. And every state is different. Like in Oregon, tattooing is run by the Board of Cosmetology. So it's really similar to getting your cosmetologist's license.
Okay.
Here it's different. It's different from county to county here. But really, that's where the consumer comes in, because there are so many options now and there is so much information out there. It really does come back to the client to make smart decisions.
That's a bit scary. So like a lot of it is really on the client to like find someone who looks legit and seems legit. Like there isn't some
That maybe sounds
governing
unfair,
board.
But yeah.
That sounds, yeah. Like that's the reality.
That's you're about to have something permanently put into your
definitely.
Skin.
Definitely.
You should do homework.
But there's doctors who are licensed and have all of their shit in order and are fucking people up, you know?
Yeah.
It's so true.
So I think that it behooves tattooers to present that they're sanitary and clean and sterile and all of these things and provide that type of environment. And a client has to feel comfortable with them.
Okay, so are there any like hardcore questions, like any zingers or any kind of just please make sure this person has an XYZ to ask for?
Yeah, I mean, they should always be either using all disposable tubes and needles or autoclavable tubes. All needles are single use. If it seems like that's not happening, then run.
Okay.
You know? But a shop would pretty much be shut down within like 2 days. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It is scary and intimidating, but it's possible and way easier than you think to find a shop that's clean and helpful and talented.
What's like the
body part that's your least favorite to tattoo, or do you not think that
way? Butts.
Really?
How many butts are you doing?
No butts. No,
have you been asked to do a butt?
Well, I do a lot of really big work, so I do a lot of back pieces, which is,
migrate down there.
Yeah, well, a back piece is your entire back, and usually, especially like with Japanese tattooing, that goes down the back of your thighs. So, you know, butts are just, I don't like tattoo, you know, I'll tattoo like upper butt is totally cool. Like the upper balcony of the butt, but like armpits are kind of, feet actually too. I don't really like tattooing feet.
Okay. Just the tops, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And no genitals for me.
I mean, people do get tattoos there.
Yeah, and totally go for it. Just, it's not. Yeah, it's not going to be for me unless there's like a very
it's
steep.
It's not for me. It's not for me.
Have you been asked?
That's your other line that you're going
to
do.
Oh, I've been asked.
You have been asked to.
Oh my God.
What kind of tattoo? This is. Listen, we're going off script. I really need to know what kind of tattoo is does somebody want on their genitals?
It's never gotten that far because when I worked at shops, I would be the only woman tattooing there, and people would know, and they would call and just like ask to have their dicks tattooed with whatever. They just wanted, you know, to make...
We didn't even get into the sexism, which I'm sure was rampant in the industry, but like, yeah, you just shut it down. I'm not going there.
That's really just beyond.
I would have to charge a very, very big handling fee. Like the tattoo would be like $100, but it would be like a $50,000 handling and processing fee.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. I still... probably wouldn't do
you
it.
You need a mask. You need the whole thing. So that's a goggles, nice segue.
Potentially.
You know? What's the most painful area to tattoo?
For me?
For her, it's all the same.
for somebody else to get tattooed. I'd assume their genitals, but outside of that.
Oof. Yeah. Well, I not going to touch that one.
People do ask that question a lot.
What?
But like where
Where's the most painful?
I wouldn't use that as a guide as where to get one, but I guess some people
do. Well, I want to know, like, what to avoid. Like, I wouldn't want to be like, you know, oh, I really want something on my, I don't know.
Where's
like
the cat neck,
you know?
Okay. Yeah, is the neck painful?
Yeah. It's painful, but it's small, so you know it's not going to last that long.
Mm.
I think wherever you're getting tattooed at that very moment is the most painful. Because we don't really remember pain. We can't recall it. So... if we could, everyone would only have one child. You'd only have one ear piercing.
Yeah.
You would have one tattoo. Like, you kind of immediately forget it.
Well,
so.
You said something interesting that I'm just remembering. The last time that you tattooed me, we were talking about endorphins.
Yeah.
And so it was larger than some of my other tattoos. And you said, yeah, you're going to be feeling fine for X amount of time as your body is pumping endorphins. So... but then they start to wear off, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how long does that...
it's like the first 10 minutes
of
a tattoo and the last 10 minutes are
the worst.
Okay, so now...
Let's talk beauty.
Let's get...
I need a break. I need to cool down. Woo! Let's open up this pouch.
Oh, yeah, I asked Virginia to bring... Wait, I feel like I
Jen gave
that to
me
you.
This pouch.
I just was looking at that. I was like, wait a second.
I brought so much stuff.
Tell us
I'm just
going to
quickly pull everything
take your time.
Out.
This thing is stuffed.
Jess is back in her wheelhouse. It's good.
All right.
It's
let's. Okay.
But as far as skincare, what do you like to use?
I really love Mario Badescu stuff.
Yeah.
I love the enzyme cleansing gel and the. There's one that's exfoliating, like micro beads.
Oh, just like the crystals? Like the.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a goodie.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else you got there?
What else we got? I like, I think I'm partial to Clinique because my mom always used it, and it's just such a sentimental brand for me.
Yeah.
So
I think
like,
they're like, yeah, they're banking on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. So I like their Super City Block.
Good sunscreen. You can't see Virginia. She's kind of fair. She needs the sunscreen for sure.
I'm a little, I can be freckly, prone to freckles.
What's that Benefit product?
I like Benefit a lot. I've been going there for a long time, and I always get my brows done there. So I like this Porefessional, like, minimizes your pores. It's sort of a mattifier.
Yeah.
And I like to put it on for, like, I'll put a moisturizer on and then put this on. And then, really, is this Glossier or Glossier?
Glossier.
Glossier.
Yeah.
Like Dossier. Okay, that makes sense. their perfecting skin tint I really like. Because I don't really ever, I never wore anything.
Like base, my mom used to, like
yeah,
foundation.
I never, yeah.
That's, but that's not super foundation-y.
No, so it's perfect.
And I see a little Armor Beauty.
Oh yeah, I love Armor Beauty lip gloss. She's, Theo Kogan is one of my favorite people.
See episode, I can't even remember what number.
It was in the teens, I think.
Yeah. Theo came on to tell us about her lip gloss line.
Yeah. Armor Beauty.
Which is vegan, which is always nice.
Cruelty free. I love the Benefit tint.
Benetint.
They made it, what was the story? They made it for to make
stripper nipples.
Mm-hmm. A little rosier.
I've never tried
it for that, but it makes my cheeks.
Cheeks are good too.
Cheeks are cheeks.
Thank you so much.
Virginia, you've been awesome. I feel like we learned a lot. Jess is working on her cat tattoo now.
Yeah, I'm going to show you a couple of pics we can discuss soon.
Okay, I'll be happy.
Oh my God, if you get a tattoo, I will... Hell will freeze over. It'll be amazing.
We have to do it on air.
There we go.
I don't know. Let's not hold our breath.
Steps.
But thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Virginia. This was fantastic. And on the blog, we'll put up It's For Me
and your
site so people can find you.
Thank you. I'm a huge fan of you guys, and I'm so honored to be part of your show. I love it.
Aww, thank you.
Thanks.
Woman, it is time to raise a wand.
Okay.
So maybe I'll go first.
Yeah, go first.
I am going to raise a wand today to Living Proof Full Dry Volume Blast.
Okay.
Not a dry shampoo, people. It is a volumizing spray, and if you took one look at my head, you would think, this girl does not need a volumizing spray. I look like Gilda Radner. Google her if you don't know who that is. But I've been using this when I have, right out of the shower, when my hair is too slippery, shiny, healthy, to give it a little bit more oomph. But it doesn't give it as much oomph as a dry shampoo that's all like cornstarchy feeling. Does this make sense to you? And it doesn't give it as much hold as a volumizing spray like that feels like hairspray. So somehow it just feels like air, cloudy air, but then all of a sudden your hair is fuller at the roots.
Okay.
So I looked into it, and they have this special molecule, don't they always? It's their whole shebang. But they say you have to shake the can a lot, and you really do, because if you don't, it doesn't work at all. There's something about this little molecule. It's very lightweight. So I've been shaking the can a lot. I do it right out of the shower to give me a little bit more body. But then I also have been using it instead of dry shampoo to just sort of revibe.
But you put it on dry hair or wet hair?
Dry hair.
Okay, so like when your hair is dry out of the shampoo.
It's like a cloudy mist of oomphy fabulousness.
Okay, so you wash and dry your hair like normal.
Yeah.
It comes out.
Yeah.
Your hair is silky, but too nice, too fresh.
Yeah. This gives it a little bit of that.
Got it. Fuff. Okay. My razor wand is from this company called Volition Beauty. Have you heard of Volition Beauty?
Yeah. They like crowdsource ideas for beauty products.
It's really cool. So, you know, we'll put a link to it. But basically, if you have an idea, you can pitch to this company called Volition Beauty. And, you know, people vote on it. And if it's, you know, super popular, they'll make it for you and people can buy it. Well, a friend of mine, she came up with this idea called Mission Brows.
Okay.
And basically, if you are a cancer, someone who was diagnosed with cancer and you end up losing your hair.
Yes.
I'm not saying that is, you know, anything that is easy to deal with, but there are options in terms of wigs and, you know.
Right, but people don't think about eyebrows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people, exactly, they don't think about eyebrows. So she, you know, she knew the beauty business really well, and she was like a total beauty junkie, but she was like, geez, like there's really nothing that looks real without like painting on.
Right. If you have no hair to grab onto, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. So she came up with this eyebrow set that's made up 100% human hair. It's woven on this like micro net. It looks completely realistic. I've seen it. And the best part is 30% of the proceeds go back to the Almond Cancer Fund, which is for young adult cancer patients and survivors.
What is the name of the product? It's not like
Mission Brows.
So do you like glue it on almost like an adhesive, or is it like you brush on this hair product?
Yeah, it's adhered onto the skin with like a really strong glue, but it's not like so uncomfortable that people wouldn't want to use it.
Cool.
So it's something that, you know, so unfortunately, like you wouldn't know, most people don't need this product, but if you do need it, you'll find out very quickly that like this is the kind of thing that needs to exist, because otherwise you're literally just like drawing on two arches.
Yeah.
I love
that it gives back to the charity too.
Completely. Like she, you know, was less shocked. She was more upset and like by the whole the loss of the brows than the hair. So yeah. Anyway, I think that this is a really great product. I love that this company exists and that can make like small batches of these products. So check it out, Volition Beauty. If you have an idea, definitely pitch it to them. And check out Mission Brows.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.